Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
All right, what I want to talk about today is what I've titled The Power of Death and the Victory That Is in Christ Jesus. Now, the reason why I decided to discuss this subject is that, you know, a lot of people spend their energy, like the Bible says, on that which does not satisfy. While meditating, I thought about it, you know, it's very common in Christianity for us to make an issue of the devil, all our enemies, and the problems that we have in life. And I discovered that what we do at the end of the day is that we put more emphasis on the power of the devil than we put on the power of God. Now, we don't realize that that's what we are doing, but the truth is that we are essentially focusing more on Satan than we are focusing on God. And like the late Archbishop Benson Daosa used to say, if you give the devil attention, he gives your life direction. Now, people don't realize that what they are doing is what I call the worship of Satan. They think that they are actually fighting him, but what they are doing is actually giving him more attention than he deserves. Are you getting the point I'm making? And I noticed studying the scriptures, I looked through the life of the nation of Israel. God never, ever emphasized their enemies. He did not emphasize the devil. In fact, the typical Jew of those days did not know much about Satan. We are not aware that Abraham ever discussed the matter of the existence of the devil. Now, it doesn't mean that the devil did not exist at that time, but the knowledge of the existence of the devil was irrelevant to his life as long as he focused on his relationship with God. Are you getting my point? The statement I like to make about that all the time is the fact that your enemies are just as strong as your relationship with God is weak. Therefore, when God wants to bless you, he does not emphasize your enemies. He emphasizes your own relationship with him. And concerning the laws that he gave the nation of Israel, their enemies were mentioned only as a way of explaining the consequences of their actions. He will tell you that when you obey the Lord thy God, when you are careful to do all the things that I've written in this book, what do you find out? That even though your enemies come against you in one way, they will scatter in seven ways. But when you are not careful to obey what I have said, you will go against your enemies one way, you will scatter in seven ways. When war will arise, you will discover that one person amongst your enemies will chase 1,000 of you, and two of them will chase 10,000. What is the reason? Because your Lord has sold you up. You get my point? That is, what he was emphasizing is the strength of their enemy as a way of telling them that they have lost their connection with their God. The enemy in himself was never a problem. Do you get the point? You know, people, they like to rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil. Rebuke the devil. But what the Bible said first was to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. That's when you can resist the devil and he will flee from you. So when God was going to walk with Abraham, what he emphasized on was this. He told Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, and I will bless you. And let me add my own words to it from the book of Psalm. And even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will fear no evil. Are you getting my point? Because I will be with you. Are you following me? He said to him, I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. What does it mean by I'm your shield? It means I am your defense. Are you following my point? He said the glory of God will be your rear guard. That is, if you use the King James, it will tell you your rear reward. What he's saying there is that I'm your shield. I defend you from the front. I'm your shield. I defend you from the back. Are you getting my point? That the angel of the Lord encamp round them that fear him and deliver him. Let's talk about Job again for a moment. We know the story of Job, which actually was the first time in the scriptures, really, all right, if you know the chronology of the Bible, that the issue of Satan was introduced. Job was not aware of Satan as a person. Please read the context of the book of Job. He did not know there was somebody called the devil. Job did not know that Satan was there trying to attack him. Job just emphasized on his relationship with God, and the power of Satan was irrelevant. Do you understand my point? So much that, if go and read that story of Job. When Satan appeared before God, and God brought up the matter of Job, Satan testified that I have left him alone. He said, have you not made a hedge around him? What am I saying? It became unimportant. It was unimportant to Job that there was a Satan. As long as he focused on God, Satan faded into obscurity. But you know what we have done these days? We are focused on the devil. Therefore, if I want to gather a large crowd, all I need to do is emphasize on the fact that we are going to tackle your enemies. All I need to do is emphasize that we are going to go against the devil. All I need to do is emphasize that all the witches that are gathered against you. Tonight we are going to scatter their power. And I think it's an unholy exercise. I say it's a sign of joblessness amongst Christians, and it's a sign of ignorance. Listen, I'm not here to criticize anybody. I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad. But I think that we should labor for that which satisfies. Are you getting my point? We should not spend our energy for naught. There was something that, I think it was Jeremiah that said it. He said, they have healed the hearts of the daughters of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when indeed there is no peace. What am I saying? Sometimes we spend the whole night praying like that, and we leave the place feeling that, yes, we have fought and we have won. And actually, nothing has changed. Listen to me. Nothing has changed. Your lifestyle has not changed. Your knowledge of God has not changed. The fact that you stayed up all night and shouting, devil, I rebuke you. Satan, I come against you, does not mean you have effectively rebuked him. Do you follow my point? If you go and read, I think, Isaiah chapter 26. In verse 18, there was a statement he made there which is so interesting for us to read. Isaiah chapter 26. To let you know that it's not the fact that you have exercised yourself does not mean you have gotten results. You can have what is called an exercise in futility. Now, listen to this. We have been with child. We have been with pain. We have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance on the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now, notice that. These people had exercised themselves. They felt they were in labor. They were screaming. They were pushing, they were straining. At the end of the day, what did they give birth to? He said, nothing but wind. Are you getting my point? That is, we have exercised ourselves in futility. This is what I'm trying to explain. If you read Ecclesiastes chapter 5, it said, watch your steps when you draw near to the temple of God. Draw near to listen rather than to offer the sacrifices of fools. That is, there are those who come near the temple of God offering sacrifices. And the Bible says that just the sacrifice of a fool. That is, it doesn't have any effect. What I'm saying is that you have stayed up all night does not mean you have fought the devil effectively and you have won. People think that the battle of life, all right, is in shouting and in prayer. And I'm going to examine that as we go on. If you go and read that 2 Corinthians chapter 10, which you quote very often, which said the weapon of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. This is what we don't understand. You know, most of us say for the bringing down of strongholds. Someone will gather, want to pray. He said, now let us face the strongholds. The strongholds that are against my progress. In the name of Jesus, come down. And you will see, we take it absolutely out of context. And I think I just like to read that quickly again to emphasize the point. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to build up to the reason why I decided to do this teaching, so that you will not continue to spend your energy for nothing. Now, from verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The reason is this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, or they are not of the flesh, but they are mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now, in verse 5, he begins to describe the strongholds. We are casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Please, I want to emphasize the warfare there, what it's about, what those strongholds are. Those strongholds are not the enemies outside. Those strongholds are not the people in your office that have gathered against your promotion. Because I said something earlier, your enemies as a child of God are only as strong as your relationship with God is weak. In themselves, they can't do anything. I have had personal experiences, and I've discovered that God actually fights for the believer, even though the believer does not know there is a battle that is going on. Hear me. If you walk in a manner pleasing to God, most of the battles of your life, you will not even know they ever raged. You don't get what I'm saying? That is, we think that God requires our participation every time. No, he doesn't. The case of Job we're talking about, Job didn't know that those bands of raiders were there all the time trying to attack his goods. Because the manifestation of Satan is usually through people. Do you get my point? When God opens the edge and allows Satan in, that was the first time he had a real encounter with those people. What I'm trying to bring out here is this. The fight that Satan was having over Job, Job did not know it was going on. When God said to Job, Satan, have you considered my servant Job? Job did not know somebody was considering him. I don't know why you're getting my point. What he was just doing was obeying God. And God was testifying that this man is a righteous man who shuns evil. A man who fears God, and there is nobody like him around. A man who truly loves God. And the only reason, you say, why did the man suffer? People say he suffered because he was afraid. I don't believe that. He was not. You see, in life, you must suffer for something. Now, what I mean is this. You will go through experiences. There are things you will have to face so that you will be a blessing to other people. Like Jesus did not go to the cross. He didn't die on the cross because he sinned. I believe we all understand that. Jesus did not die on the cross because he was afraid of the cross. Jesus died on the cross that he might liberate other people. Do you follow my point? And I heard a man preach once, and he said that why Job went through what he went through, and that's the most balanced message I ever heard on the Gospel of Job. He said that God allows Job to go through what he went through, that he might cure the backsliding of the saints forever. Are you getting my point? So that men will not think, because what actually the normal thing, the baseline thing about Christianity is that when you obey God, good comes to you. That is the way the walk with God is. Are you following what I'm saying? But occasionally, there are times you have to go through sufferings. The Bible said that even though he was a son, yet he learned what? Obedience through the things that he suffered. He said, having been made perfect, he became an author of salvation for everyone who would trust in him. That is, his suffering, do you get my point, was to bring him to perfection so that he might be an author of salvation for other people. And this man explained that day in that message that Job went through what he went through that he might cure the saints forever. Are you getting my point? So that when a man has to go through suffering for the purposes of being an effectual minister of God, Satan will not be able to accuse him effectively, and Satan will not be able to draw him into backsliding. Job becomes a reference point for eternity because it was an argument. Now, get this point. God is just. God has all knowledge, but there's what the Bible calls the demonstration of his righteousness. That is what God knows. He wants everybody else to understand also. So what happened? God said, I know Job is loving me for the sake of loving me. Are you getting my point? I know that Job fears me for the sake of fearing me. But Satan was accusing that, no, it is because you have blessed him so much. And God said, let me demonstrate this to you so that for the rest of eternity, that argument will never come up again. That men only serve God because of what they are getting. And let me say this again. If you have been serving God because of what you are getting, then you are not a true believer. I say it all the time. People say, give that you might get. I said, if what you are going to get is your motivation for giving, you are not a giver. Because you are going to give Satan a voice, all right, before the throne of God. That, can't you see my son is a very generous man? He said, is he not only generous because he's getting? And he will be correct. And God said, that's not the correct order. That is, so let's see what we're going to do. Job will give and give and give. He won't get anything. And let's see whether he will stop giving. That's what God was doing. Are you getting my point? And that is true Christianity. People say that, no, that's what God said. You should expect anything, something every time you give. Listen, the law of giving and receiving is like the law of gravity. Are you getting my point? For every seed you sow, you will get something back. But motivation counts with God. That was the argument of the life of Job. This man is obeying God. Why is he doing it? Are you following what I'm saying? That was the argument. Why is he doing this obedience? Why is he walking in a manner that was pleasing to God? Is it because of what he's getting? God said, let me explain to you, to all of you, all you devils, all you angels, and all you human beings that will come after, that men can serve me not because of what they are getting. Therefore, the only way he could prove it was to take away everything that Job got as a result of service and say, let us see whether he will deny us. Do you understand what I'm going to say? And Job did not deny God. And after that, God says, see, I have made my point. Are you getting my point? And he put it there in the scriptures, all right, for us to be able to see as a reference point forever. So that nobody will say that you can't, I mean, this is the way it is. And God tests everybody. Just get this very clear. One day you are going to lose something that is precious to you. Are you getting my point? And I've taught every believer, please don't ever, ever complain at that time. What you should do is to give God thanks. One day you are going to believe God for an Isaac, and the Isaac will die before your eyes. And what I'm telling you is the absolute truth. People say that Abraham's Isaac didn't die. As a matter of fact, Abraham's Isaac died. What came back, all right, was a resurrected Isaac. If you have spiritual eyes, you will see that as far as God was concerned, that Isaac died. And then he now resurrected Isaac back for Abraham. Please, I hope what you are following what I'm saying. That I discussed that in my book, Great Faith Can Be Yours. That sometimes Isaacs die. But you know what God is doing? This is what I want to bring out. Early in your life, one day your Isaac will die. And then if you handle it with thanksgiving, with gratitude to God, what you have done is that you have appropriated, listen, the blessing of Job upon yourself. That's what you have done. Because God will say, this one has put his foot or her foot on the path of Job. That even though we test him or her more than this, he still won't change his or her mind concerning serving God. Therefore, we say to Satan, take your hands off his blessing. Now, I started all of this by trying to bring out an issue. That Satan was never a problem for Job. I just went off that tangent to be able to explain some points. Satan was never Job's problem. Satan was on his own. The issue was Job and God. As long as you fine-tune your relationship with God, and like Abraham, you walk before him and you are perfect, then Satan becomes an irrelevant point. You do not stay up all night trying to pray about something that is irrelevant. Are you getting my point? So now, what is that stronghold? Let me not forget that I read that and I was trying to explain. What is a stronghold? You see what Paul said there? He said these strongholds, they are what? They are thoughts and imaginations. They are things in your heart that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And that is what we are casting down. We're not casting down any devil outside. You are casting out opinions and ideas that you have that's not allowing the power of God flow through you. That is what you are casting down. I hope you are following the point I'm making here. So what am I teaching? I'm teaching on the power of death and the victory that's in Christ Jesus. I'm explaining that people have focused too much on the devil and have made him appear bigger than he really is. One day I was listening to a message by John F. Avanzini, and he said that in the beginning, that is in Genesis, quite an interesting way, an allegorical way of looking at it. He said in Genesis, Satan was described as a serpent. He said in Revelation, he had become a dragon. He said, why? He said, because the people of God had so worshipped and spoken greatly of Satan, he gathered power by their words. And I'm going to discuss that also. How we give Satan power through our words. I call them excuses for Satan. Satan needs to feed. Oh my God, I wish you get the point. What he feeds on, there are a number of things that gives him power. One of them is the words that people speak, claiming he's powerful. Do you understand my point? The Bible says that he goes around like a roaring lion, seeking who he might devour. That is, he's roaring, trying to scare you. Listen, if you fall for that, if you become afraid, then you become his prey. But if you stand in the face of adversity and you are not afraid of the devil, then he will never be able to attack you and defeat you. I read a story once, one man of God told about, he became very sick. He was a man, he had a serious heart condition. And for days, he was always ill, you know. At night, all right, he will be in his bed, he will be in serious pains, his chest will be paining him, his heart will not be beating properly. And he kept on praying. And he kept on praying, holding on to the word of God, confessing his deliverance, that I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I am well. Satan has no power over me. And he kept on confessing that. Then he had a dream. Now listen to this. This is the dream that I want to talk about. They dreamt that one day, he was on a racing track, something like that. He and a friend, and they were walking. And then, the head movement behind them turned, saw, and there was a lion. And the lion was charging at them, and they were running. Then suddenly he realized that, why am I running? I'm an overcomer. I'm a winner. I am not afraid. The spirit of Christ is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So he turned, stopped running, turned and faced the lion. And the lion ran up to him, looked at him, stopped, turned around and ran away. Are you getting the point? And he woke up after that dream and discovered that he has become perfectly well. Are you getting the point? That is, that dream explained to him what was happening. That actually he was well. But Satan was roaring, telling him, you are going to die. Satan was roaring, trying to scare him that I'm going to kill you, your heart is in trouble. And when he stood on God's word and said, no, that is just noise. There is nothing you can do to me. Then God now showed him summary of everything, that dream. And he discovered that indeed he was an overcomer. And that Satan was only trying to scare him. Do you get what I'm saying? And that's what we fall for most of the time. The threats of Satan. What am I trying to do in this, my teachings? I want to explain to the believer again that if you are indeed a believer in Christ Jesus, Satan does not have any power over you, and you should stop spending all night praying about Satan. You should stop trying to cast down one stronghold that you think it's outside. Listen, God defends his children even when they don't realize there's a battle going on. Do you understand my point? There's one scripture we like to quote from Psalm 127. Now, we quote this scripture a lot. Let me just read from verse 1. Said, unless the Lord builds a house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. So for so he gives to his beloved, let me give you the quote from the New American Standard, even while he sleeps. Are you getting my point? He said, so he gives to his beloved even while he sleeps. What was the psalmist trying to explain? That a lot of blessings come to us without our participation. Do you follow what I'm saying? That it's not every blessing that comes to us that we need to participate in. That many of them, in fact, I believe this absolutely, that there are some blessings that can never come to you except you are asleep. There are some promotions that will not come to you in your office except you go on leave. You know, there are people that will never go on leave. They want to work and work and work. They have their own private business. Listen, it is the law of God. There are times you must rest. Do you understand my point? When the disciples went out, and God, the Lord Jesus has sent them out, and the Lord went with them with power, there was great manifestation. When they came back, having manifested the power of God greatly, opened blind eyes, made the lame walk, demons were being cast out. When they came back, they were ready to go to the next mission field. The Lord said, come aside and rest for a while. What is the reason? Because there are blessings that can never enter into your life except you go and rest. It's as if you are competing with God to do something. And God says, except you relax, I can't help you. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm bringing an issue here. That our defense against the devil does not require our active participation all the time. That you face the devil in my business, I cast you out. The devil in my home, I cast you out. The devil in my finances, I cast you out. The truth is that most of those times we are operating in ignorance. We are not focusing on the main thing we are supposed to focus on. What are we supposed to focus on our relationship with God? What are we supposed to focus on how we are walking in a manner pleasing to God? What are the strongholds that we are supposed to cast down? Those strongholds are the thoughts and ideas that we have that are not in agreement with God's thoughts. You need to drop your ways and drop your thoughts. Those things are the strongholds that you need to fight, not the devil. Do you follow my point? Listen, it's that wisdom, that understanding that will bring stability into your life. People say, I don't know witches. I said they exist. They do. You look, listen, hear this clearly. Satan cannot just get up and inflict anybody because he desires it. It is absolutely out of spiritual order. And he understands spiritual order. Before he can do anything to anybody, he has to get the clearance, all right, from the throne of God. And that's why God is called a just God. Do you follow the point I'm making? I discuss this thing extensively in my book, By Faith, Acquire Life. All right? That is, it has to get clearance. And that's what I want to emphasize. If you read from the book of Revelation chapter 12, you'll see something that he said there. He said, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. Please, I want to emphasize something here. He said, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Notice this, verse 11. And they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And one more thing, they did not love their life even to death. There's something I want to bring out from there. He calls Satan an accuser of the brethren. Now, one thing that struck me here when I read this is that he didn't just call him an accuser. He called him what? An accuser of the brethren. You know, what came to my mind is this. There are people that have sold themselves to Satan. Are you getting my point? And for those people, he has power over them. He doesn't accuse them. He runs their life. I hope you're following what I'm saying. That those who, by reason of their choices in life, have made up their minds to serve Satan, he doesn't accuse those people before God, before he afflicts them. He already has power over them. But for those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who are not in his kingdom, who have been delivered, like the Bible says in the book of Colossians, from the power of darkness, and they have been moved into the kingdom of God's dear Son, for those people, he has no power except the power of accusation. Do you get my point? I'm going to talk, like I said, told you, I'm talking about the power of death. How does it come? I'll discuss what death is and explain the power thereof and how Satan takes a hold of that power. But I want to emphasize something first of all, that for every child of God, Satan doesn't have any power over you more than the ability to accuse. Do you follow my point? That is, the only thing Satan can do is watch out for when you are disobeying God and use that against you before the judgment throne of God, so that God will rule against you. But you see, that's where the power of the blood of Jesus works. If you constantly walk in righteousness and you constantly walk in your integrity, that as far as lies within your power, you walk in a manner pleasing to God, there's what the Bible calls mercy. Mercy is present in that blood of Jesus. Mercy overshadows all your shortcomings. That is, within the realms of your understanding and your ability, you are walking in a manner pleasing to God. The things that you don't even know, even though you do them wrong, that's where the mercy of God washes them away. It's present in the blood of Jesus. Get my point? That's why he said the accuser of our brethren has been cast down. And what we do is we overcome him how? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I'll discuss that one later. In that we don't love our lives unto death. We don't hold on to what we believe is good for us according to our own opinion. We don't hold on to our own ambitions and what the society expects of us. But we cast down the things that are of our natural existence. I don't know whether I get my point. It's not like, look, in my place, this is how we do. This is where we are. We don't marry from here. We marry from there. That's your own life. Do you follow my point? You drop that and take on the life of Christ. Listen to me. Once you maintain that, Satan is constantly being cast down before you. Do you follow what I'm trying to explain? Listen, this is an important thing. When the disciples came in Luke chapter 10, and they were so excited about the results in ministry, Jesus looked and said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. That is, the reason why you had this amount of power over him was because I that sent you. Listen, I already knew something. Do you follow what I'm saying? Because the power of the knowledge that I have is what translates into power on the earth. Because I saw Satan fall from heaven. Therefore, when I gave you power, you had power over him. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That's how it works. Anyone who lays down his life, that has believed in Christ, has passed out of darkness, all right, out of death into life. For such a person, Satan has been cast down. And what's my assignment? It says, say to the cities of Zion, behold your God. My job is this. I want you to focus on that Satan that was cast down. Do you follow my point? What I mean by focus on him now, not him that was cast down, but the casting down. When you discover that Satan has come down from heaven, is now beneath your feet, you will stop making him an issue in your life all the time. Are you getting my point? Listen, your prayer point, and that has been my own prayer point. Every day when I want to pray, I ask the Lord, is there anything I'm doing wrong I'm not supposed to be doing? Open my eyes, O God. Elihu said, pray like this, that which I see not, teach thou me, and if I have done iniquity, I won't do it anymore. That is what brings deliverance into your life, not casting out Satan. I was watching T.G. Jakes the other day. T.G. Jakes said, you cannot cast out the person you are dating. That is, if you go on dates with the devil, you can't come to church on Sunday and cast him out. That is, if you are romancing with the devil, you can't pray against him. That's what people don't understand a lot of times. They think they can just pray and pray and pray and pray, Satan will disappear. No, it's your walk with God that drives Satan out of your life. I hope you've gotten my point.
We trust that you were blessed by the message. More materials and information about Kingdom Word Ministries are freely obtainable when you visit us at kwm.com.ng. or pastorbanky.com. We would like to hear from you on how much this production has blessed you. Please write us at mails@kwm.com.ng or PO Box 2273, Enugu, Nigeria.